Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com, where you can click the Listen Live tab for 24/7 talk radio. In addition to that, please check out the thousands of podcasts and articles, which are updated daily, and please share those on social media. We face the same social media censorship that so many other conservatives are facing. So when you share the articles and podcasts on social media, we appreciate that a great deal. Coming up on election season, we've got so many big races. In particular, we've got on California candidate Peter Hernandez, who's running in District 18 in California. We're looking forward to having him on tonight to discuss the election. We talk about it time and time again, how we need to chip away at these blue states, district by district, put in good conservative Republican candidates. Here you have Peter Hernandez, a Hispanic running in California. And that's what we really need to appeal to a lot of these voters out there whose demographic reflects that. And I'm excited to have Peter on, and I'm really wishing him luck in his upcoming election. We've got so many big races. The election season is really heating up. I'm excited for the show tonight. How about you, Rob?
Absolutely. I'm excited about it. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this Wednesday night. We're excited to have Peter Hernandez on the show with us because we see now that the demographic in the Republican Party is changing. The Democrats would like us to believe that Republicans are racist, that it's a party of old white men, and that if you vote for Republicans, you're voting against your own self-interest. Now, never mind you that Joe Biden is at the head of their party. Never mind you that the Democrats said, especially Simone Sanders, who's a loud mouth of the South, came out and said on more than one occasion that the Democrat Party did not need an old white man at the top running the party. Oh, she said it. I played it for you. She said it on more than one occasion. But yet and still, look at who's at the top of the party. An old white man, Joe Biden, who, by the way, is mentally challenged. Do not doubt me when I say it. I don't care what the media is saying. They're telling you, oh, he has a speech impediment problem. And Andrew, you know what's interesting? Is that I was having a conversation with someone the other day. And I was saying, you know, Joe forgets a lot. And he stumbles and they say, oh, no, he has a speech impediment problem. I'm like, are you serious? It's like, yeah, they said it. I'm like, they said what? That's the reason why he stumbles. I'm like, but he wasn't stumbling before he became the, I don't want to say president, but the resident, when he was a senator, when he was a vice president. Why now is he stuttering? They couldn't answer that. But see, they have bought into the fake news media narrative that Joe Biden has a speech impediment problem. All of his shortcomings, when he can't remember if his wife is his sister or his sister is his wife, when he can't remember if he's overseas, when he can't remember half of his staff members' names, when he still calls Barack Obama the president and he's the vice president. The guy has a problem, cognitive issues. Why aren't Republicans saying that they need to have it tested? Why? Why isn't that happening? Quiet as it kept, they won't say anything, but they'll have us to believe that, oh no, Joe, he's on top of everything. He's a smart man. Meanwhile, feeding us a steady diet that if you vote Republican, you're voting for white supremacists. Look at what happened in Texas. Mara Flores, a Mexican. She won her election. They hadn't had a Republican in that district since the 1800s, and she won. And what did the Democrats come out and say along with their propaganda arm, the liberal media? Oh, she's a racist. Oh, she's not really a Mexican. Oh, she's not Hispanic. She's white. Don't believe it. She's a racist. She's a this, she's a that. No one has called them out on it. No one has said, wait a minute. No, she's Hispanic. And she's a Republican. She's a conservative. Because not all Hispanics are Democrats. The same way not all Blacks are Democrats. But one would question that, because the Blacks do give the Democrat Party a lion's share of their vote Why? I don't know, because they haven't done anything for them, but keep them literally on a mental slave plantation of we're going to give you this, and we're going to give you that. But they give them absolutely nothing. Barack Obama, not one, but two terms as the first Black president with two Black attorney generals. What did they do about crime? Absolutely nothing. What are they doing about crime now that's in the Black neighborhood? Absolutely nothing, but telling them, vote for us, we'll make it all go away. People are waking up because they're seeing through the rhetoric. But we need Republicans to help push the charge and start going into these communities and saying, hey, we are a diversified party. We have other candidates that you need to listen to and you can vote for. So I am glad that we have someone like Peter Hernandez on the show tonight, who's preparing for the general election in November. We need to get him over the line. We need for him to win, because I'm tired of the same old, especially in California with Gavin Newsom. I mean, they just dumped Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. Now they're trying to get rid of Gascon. Hopefully they'll be successful. But in the meantime, the other elections we need to focus on. Peter, how are you tonight? Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for that very invigorating statement. I concur. I totally agree with all that you said.
So, Peter, what made you decide to enter into this election? Because, as I said, Democrats would have you to believe that there are no Hispanics that are Republicans. It's all smoke and mirrors. You can't believe that. Why did you decide to enter into the race?
Well, it's funny because along that vein, I mean, I've seen the breakdown as a Christian man. You know, I've seen the breakdown in our country, this generalization. I've seen how they've manipulated the truth when it comes to policies. I started paying attention 15 years ago, and my mind just wouldn't allow me to reconcile that there was a lot of contradictions that they were posing. And I've never been one to dismiss the public. I firmly believe the public has a lot more wisdom than the Democrat Party gives them credit for. So long and short, I saw the breakdown. I have four kids, two little ones, and I just don't see how you could not have the conviction to get involved and allow to hand off this country broken and falling apart, where your kids would have a very, I would say a tyrannical future based off of the policies that have been handed down to us. I just couldn't see myself being able to sit on the sidelines. You know, it's like when you see the battle, you have to get involved. Otherwise, you allow your country to be taken over.
And that's what would happen if we sit on the sidelines. So I'm glad you decided to toss your hat into the ring. Now, how have you been received by the individuals in your community?
Well, and I on the note of what you mentioned with the Latino community, so for those that don't know, this district, Congressional District 18, starts in South San Jose, goes all the way to King City. And it was intentionally brought in to be a majority Democrat Latino district, or it was a majority Latino district. So the bottom line is this district being now brand new. And it's funny because when the whole idea of running, it wasn't even me considering Congressional District 18. I was actually recruited to run for this race because people have known me as a fighter. I'm a city and county supervisor right now. So I've been in office 4 years. This is my second term. I've actually been on the Hollister School District Board for 4 years too. So I have some school experience and then I have some local government experience, and I'm actually the official chair of the Board of Supervisors right now. So the bottom line is I've seen the breakdown in our district. I was asked to run. I do what any Christian man should be doing, is praying before you consider the race. And I just had this immense peace over it, not even realizing that the unique dynamics of this district, it's not just majority Latino, but it's officially two-thirds of the geography rural, it's agricultural, it's very much middle class. And the Latino community, we've always been conservative. That's never been not the case. So the reality is we love our freedom or our individuality. We love we love to our family, and we love our faith. You know, those are the things that make us who we are. It's part of our culture. you know? And so the bottom line is I knew that there was just this big disconnect with that sentiment, the Democrat sentiment. And it's funny because even as I even considered the school board race, when I first started getting involved and not even knowing what the veil looked like behind the curtain, basically, I started realizing that a lot of these things that they were posing on the front end were not on the back end, basically, as transparent. And I started learning a lot of how the gimmicks and the games were played. So it was really much a training ground. And I found myself saying the big thing that I would say the Democrat left depends on is the ignorance or the lack of understanding of the public, right? Like I said, I have a lot of faith in them, but at the end of the day, these policies are proof positive, like the Inflation Reduction Act, which is really the Inflation Recession Act, is being positioned as something that's actually going to benefit the economy of our country, but in reality, it's going to hurt it.
And one of the things you said, or two of the things, family and faith, that's definitely what the Democrats are hoping to destroy. They care nothing about faith. They care nothing about family. They care nothing about religion. And I think I feel comfortable saying it because you will know them by their fruit, as the Bible tells us. Amen. And anything that involves Christianity, it's as if though it's a cross and they're a vampire and they want to stay away from it. Look at what they've done to our schools. I, like you, joined my school board because I was concerned as to some of the things that they were trying to introduce. And I'm like, no, I want to know what's happening. They want us to stay quiet. They don't want us to say anything while they bring in all of this made up nonsense about gender studies and who can be a woman, who can't, and you can just make it up as you go. I'm like, this is dangerous. And then for Joe Biden to have Rachel Levin at the top saying that she wants kids to be able to be introduced to hormone blockers, I'm like, put the brakes on it. We've got to stop this. And so many people aren't aware of it. And like you, as you said, the Hispanic community, the Black community, they're not down with that. They don't like it. But you know what? The Democrats have hoodwinked them into thinking it's okay. It'll be safe. Don't say anything. But if you go to a lot of Black churches on Sunday morning, the Black churches that are followers of Christ, not these big box churches that are only concerned with membership and the tithes and the offering, you will hear coming from the pulpit, the pastor saying, this is wrong. We need to reject it. This is not biblical. We need more folks like you that are Christians, that are standing up and willing to take it to the next level. Because if we don't, the country will be lost. Who is your opponent, Peter, that you're running against?
My opponent is Zoe Lofgren. She's a progressive leftist. She lives pretty much in Washington, D.C. She's on the January 6th committee. She's very closely tied to Nancy Pelosi. So it's definitely an animal of a lift to target this district. But yeah, I think she doesn't realize that her money is not going to be able to outwork my energy. I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of people on my team. There's a lot of excitement, and the dynamics of this district is very much in a position to win it.
So you're in the right position to win. And how has the Republican Party received you?
Well, that's a unique thing. So they've supported me, you know, they have endorsed me, but support is kind of I've said it before. It's funny. I just answered this question today. It's a very relative term, right? Support is all dependent upon really the level that it's going to take to get you to across the finish line. So the bottom line is they have endorsed me as a statewide Republican. I've had the local central committees endorsing me, and the local central committees are doing what they can. Ultimately, it's not a machine, right? So there's a little bit of clunkiness at the local level, but they're trying. And I would say at the state level, they're really focusing their energies on the districts they believe they can protect. In California, it's all about protection mode. The districts that they've won, they're just going to put their money there. I don't think they've really thought through well enough this district, because I firmly believe if they did, they would realize that it would be a wise investment to win back the Central Coast of California. It's the lettuce bowl. It's the salad bowl, basically. It's rural. It's agricultural. This community is very farm work, right? Even just on the basic dynamics of what the city interest versus a rural interest, a city typically leans more blue. But you look at the rural areas, it's definitely a lot more conservative. That includes the Latinos living in that rural area, right? When you figure out what it means to bootstrap, I started a business by God's grace and with my wife's support, we started a business. When you figure out what it means to bootstrap your life, you start to realize that you like your independence and you don't really want handouts. You just want opportunity. That is this district. And that's why we're going to win this thing.
Yeah, Peter, California is such a big state with so many districts. For people not familiar, where District 18 is, what cities and counties are in District 18?
So there's four counties, Andrew. It's Santa Clara, a portion of Santa Clara. There's actually other congressional districts that touch Santa Clara. So it's a portion of Santa Clara, South San Jose, which includes Morgan Hill, Gilroy, and San Martin. And then it goes farther south into San Benito County. So that's the second county. And then the only part of Santa Cruz County is Watsonville, which is very much agricultural, majority Latino. And then the rest of Monterey County on the inland side, everything off the 101, which is Salinas, Gonzales, Soledad, Greenfield, Castroville, all the way down to King City, just north of San Ardo.
Fantastic. Peter, we're going to have you on for one more segment if your schedule allows it. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you stream. We're available Monday to Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, or 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
It's summertime. Ready for your vacation to the beach, the lake, or the mountains? But what about your accommodations? Ever wonder what germs were left behind by the previous guests? Kathy G. from Tulsa says the Genesis Fogger gives her peace of mind and confidence when traveling. With Genesis, she knows that the air and surfaces in her vacation rental are free of bacteria and viruses left behind by the previous occupants. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
How the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
So we're back with congressional candidate Peter Fernandez. And one of the questions that I want to ask him, he was telling us what his district consists of, the areas and whatnot, but how are the people themselves, do you have a feel as to what they want and what are they thinking as far as candidates? It's a newly created district that was designed, I think you said, for Democrats, but now you're coming in. Do you think there's enough support there to change and get new blood in? Go ahead.
I appreciate the question. That there's 100% support. I literally just came from the Strawberry Festival. My campaign manager's got me jam-packed with tons of locations, fundraisers, everything. Long and short, Watsonville, which is right smack dab in the central coast of the district. They had a Strawberry Festival today, and I walked the whole area, talked to everybody that I could. We actually had a team of people. There was 10 of us And it's funny because part of the branding that we're doing is Vote for Pedro. I don't know if you remember Napoleon Dynamite, but we're out walking with these Vote for Pedro shirts on with my actual logo on the back. And we're just out there talking to people. So as we walk the whole area, there's not one Latino that I talked to that was, you know, that basically wasn't supportive. I had a group of them asking me what my party affiliation was. They wanted to know if I was Republican or Democrat. And I told them I was obviously honest, Republican, and they were very happy. They're like, we're so conservative. We don't know what the heck's going on. And ultimately there was a lot of frustration from what is happening, right? So to your question is, they're middle class. They don't like the gas prices. They obviously need a quality of life that the inflation is basically taking them outside of that opportunity. And then you end up having folks that are struggling, worrying about if they're going to be able to put their kids in school because of the indoctrination and the issues that they're seeing, right? These things are becoming more visible. They want to be able to have control over the education of their children. And ultimately, you know, a lot of them are business owners. It's funny because you're going to see most of the time in Salinas area, Latinos setting up at the street corner, selling fruit. Like, instead of going to the welfare line, they're selling fruit. Why? Because they're hardworking. At the end of the day, you have a lot of folks that want to just, they're entrepreneurial. They want to start a business. They want to know what it means to get in, to be able to be successful and not necessarily depend on handouts. So I firmly believe, and I also went down to St. Benedict's Church here in Hollister. All of them, even Democrats, were very supportive. We're kindred spirits, right? We have might have varying degrees of ultimate opinions, right? Whether social or just practical solutions, but they still want representation. And it's funny because the Republicans, I think that what they haven't really figured out is they put the word Republican out there as if it's kind of like the name of a person, but in reality, it's supposed to be a representation of your values. So once I start talking to the public without even mentioning the word Republican, just talking about what I believe in, the values, right? The hard work, the ethic, you know, the opportunity and what it means to actually have true representation, transparency in the process, right? I'm the chair of our local board of supervisors. I didn't do that without debate and dialogue. Bottom line is when the public is hearing my interest to make sure that we're working together for the interest of the district, then all of a sudden you have people saying, and I had two Democrats today tell me, Peter, I'm voting for you. So there's huge support. We just need the name recognition and we need the money, obviously, to help us get us across the finish line.
That's great interesting to hear. Earlier, Rob mentioned that we have these radical district attorneys in California. The one in San Francisco was just recently recalled, and people see this from all over the country. All this crime going on in states like New York and California, and the criminals will just get out of jail the next day for often horrific crimes. From where you're sitting, are the people in California getting frustrated with these radical progressive district attorneys that are letting these criminals slide and just get out of prison basically the next day?
That's right. Well, yeah, there's a slow breakdown of our communities, right? Where we've obviously been known in California as the state that spends more on everything and does actually less with that money that they spend, right? So we're less successful while we're the biggest investors in education and in supposedly resources, right? Social services. And we get very little to nothing out of it because there's no real metric. And I've said that before. I've learned this as a county supervisor, which has been part of my argument, is not only for local control, right? It puts us into the driver's seat. And a lot of my colleagues, with all due respect, they don't really, I firmly believe they don't really understand the detriment to themselves, even if they're trying to be partisan. The moment that you allow the state to dictate everything, you've officially made yourself impotent as a local legislator to actually affect change. So at the end of the day, I fought for local control. I've actually fought against the mandates. I fought for basically honest dialogue of what true representation means according to my constitutional authority, which is exactly what I did with our local public health officer. I challenged the guy. I copied and pasted those statements, put it in a local article because I knew it was going to cause a firestorm amongst the public because 2 hours later, basically, he quit. And I didn't know that was going to happen, but I think it was by God's grace he had me save those comments. But ultimately, the point is I've always pushed for public conversation. I want them to understand this process because I firmly believe, and that's what I think the party doesn't understand, is the moment we engage the public in the process, they get educated and it's game over for the Democrat leftist.
Well, something you said that I thought was rather interesting is that when you have the conversation with your constituents, you don't go in talking about, I'm a Republican. Because as you said, and this is so true, and I hope people that are listening to this, let this marinate. When you go out and you're speaking, Republican isn't a person. It's about your values and your beliefs. But the Democrats have managed to shape the narrative to make people think that Republicans is an old white man who's a racist. And that's not true. I'm not an old white man, and neither are you, Peter. So when you go in, like you said, and you go in, you start talking about the issues, the party affiliation is an afterthought. Now, that's powerful, because I think that if more Republicans were to try that out, start talking about, this is my belief system, this is what I want to do, these are the things that we can do together, you would be surprised at people that would say, wow, I like what you're saying, I'm going to vote for you. Oh, and by the way, vote for me, and here's my card. And then they see, oh, wow, this is a Republican. So what are your values, Peter? What is your belief system that keeps you going, that people should know about to come to the polls in November and vote for you?
Well, obviously, I'm a Christian man. I believe, like I said, in my faith, I believe in Christ. He is the director of my ship. Ultimately, that says that I cannot, and it's not in good conscience, I should not, is push forward for things that are self-interested. I have to push forward for basically what's better for the purpose of the position, right? That means I'm actually there as a representative. I don't like being called a politician. I'm a public servant. So the mindset that I carry is basically of service, right? Greater love has no man than one that would give up his life as a ransom for, you know, basically would give up his life for his friend. So, and the Lord also says, right, that, you know, basically, you have to have a life of service, right? So the bottom line is that's my attitude, is I want to serve. I really do want to restore my nation. It's all about the posterity that we're supposed to, you know, our children, right? We want to make sure we leave our country better for them. And, you know, when it comes down to what the community starts to understand about me, and I think that's what gets them excited is, and I think it's all it is really just referencing the document that guides our legislative authority, right? The Constitution. So I don't know anybody who disagrees with separation of powers, due process, innocent before proven guilty. The fact that we have there's unalienable rights. Those rights basically are God-given. They're not granted by government. Therefore, government can't take them away. And the idea that government lives, or the federal at least, right, is supposed to live in a box. That box, you're not supposed to get out of. That's part of the reason why we have issues with the administrative state and all these executive branches that have done nothing but make things worse. And, you know, like the Declaration says, one of the grievances is that it eats out, you know, they've erected a multitude of offices and it eats out the substance of the people, right? So you start to take from the people that you're supposed to be serving. You're by default the opposite of why you were supposed to, why you're there in the first place. So my conviction is basically to serve and to restore sanity to government. I don't want to be a lifer. To me, it's a tour of duty. I want to be able, I mean, really, it's about bringing power back to where it belongs, which is to my community. And one last thing I would say is I want to build the bench. I don't want to just go to office for the sake of serving, even just to write good policies. I want to make sure that we get the next generation ready to replace us, because I think that's part of the mindset is once you have lifers living there, then they're so disconnected from reality, they forget where they came from, if they did come from humble beginnings, and ultimately the country suffers for it.
The country suffers for it, and that is a reason why we need fresh blood. We need new candidates that are out there that are showing something different besides the old stagnant stuff that has been there that people are pretty much just tired of, and it makes people not being interested and not concerned. Would you say that your district, that there is energy that's pumping through and that they're excited about the election that's coming up in November?
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting. Once people meet me and they start to hear my honest convictions, and I'm not a scripted person, they definitely start to get excited. There was actually a lady today who said, like she couldn't believe that she was in front of me because she, I guess, had been following me. She'd been watching my videos. And by God's grace, I actually had a very nice website built where it has my media and a lot of basically information about me. So bottom line is she's followed me. She understands my convictions and she met me in person. And she's super excited. So I have about 60 volunteers, which is not that bad considering I've raised maybe close to 100 grand. So I haven't really raised a whole lot of money, but I've been just bootstrapping it the whole way. I mean, that's the way we started our business. And to me, it takes tenacity. You can't just depend on the typical levers of success, according to the political pundits. You got to be able to just bootstrap it and get out into the public and ultimately just be willing to sacrifice, even if it's not one term, even if it takes two terms, right, two election cycles. You got to keep pressing forward. It's the long game that the Republican Party has to play. And I don't think they know how to play it very well. I think it's the grassroots that's going to restore this thing.
You're right. It is a long game. And we hear that all the time because California is a big state and it's pretty much Democrat. But we know that there have been Republicans who have won the state. Look at Ronald Reagan. Now, some will point to Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I'm like, yeah, whatever you want to say. But it can be done if the Republican Party were to focus, laser focus in on it. I mean, that's what Democrats do. They look at what they're doing in Texas. Now, whether or not Beto O'Rourke is going to win, I don't think he's going to win the governorship, but they see it as, hey, this is in play, and we're going to do all we can to win. Republicans have got to do the same thing. They have got to go into these Democrat districts and say, we're going to start supporting these candidates. We're going to help these candidates. We're going to groom these candidates. That is the only way we will win. We got to stop walking away. There are too many people that are out there. Like I said, it is a foregone conclusion for some that all Hispanics are going to vote for Democrats, but that's not the case. I mean, look at Mara Flores. She won her district, and there can be so many others. Andrew, were you about to say something?
No, I was just going to ask Peter Hernandez about the border issue and what his thoughts are on our open borders that affects California a great deal, being a border state and all. What do you think of Joe Biden stopping construction of the wall? Yet we hear reports recently that perhaps he's restarting some of that construction of the border wall. Were you in favor of the border wall?
100%. You know, good fences make good neighbors, right? There's wisdom in that statement. At the end of the day, as Americans, right, we want to come into this country. I'm first generation Mexican American. My family came into this country, and at first they didn't do it right necessarily, but they definitely made sure to do it right. And so bottom line is they wanted to become citizens. One of the proudest moments that I had as a young kid, not even realizing the country that I was in, right, I was born here, but I didn't understand it, was when my dad basically rehearsed a portion of the Declaration of Independence for his citizenship class. And he didn't speak English, so he spoke it in his basically broken Spanish, you know, broken English. He was rehearsing it. And I thought that was really profound. Bottom line is we want to belong, right? I don't know who doesn't. And you think about a country that's framed under an idea, not even an individual nationality or any kind of caste system. It's basically people wanting to unite under a banner of freedom. And that freedom has specificity to what it means to give you the individuality, or at least encourage your individuality to become successful with certain restrictions, right? Not lying, not cheating, not stealing. Sounds like the Ten Commandments to me. The bottom line is there's a framework of success that I believe not only God established in this nation, but it's a framework of success ultimately for even the non-believer, right? Because I know anybody who doesn't necessarily, people that don't believe don't necessarily, or ultimately, yes, they do benefit from this nation. So the bottom line is we want a nation that's united. You can't have a United States if you don't have a border. The border defines the sovereignty of our nation. And when you think about the issues with an open border, or two different nations with two different sentiments or interests, and you have criminal elements that are hanging out at the border that are abusing that basically open door. They're doing it by destroying human lives with sex trafficking, human trafficking, right? Labor. And you're also basically creating your issues with the fentanyl, right? Allowing this open borders process to allow fentanyl come, which is one of the most, it is the most destructive drug. Last I remember, it was like 500,000 people have already died from the fentanyl overdose in our country. So there's all these issues that are happening, and open borders policy is encouraging it. So if you think about that reality, is the open borders policy encourages this devastation. Even for the folk that's an illegal immigrant, it's bad news for them, let alone for the, you know, anybody else who's trying to basically come through that border. It's a criminal element. It's all it's going to do is create more chaos, right? It's an anarchy society. We need to shut down that border and create a simple process that would allow people to come in that we know want to actually honor this nation.
Very well said. We've been here with guest Peter Hernandez, running for Congress in California's 18th Congressional District. Peter, where's the best place people could go to support your campaign?
They can go to HernandezForCongress.com. Again, it's HernandezForCongress.com.
Thank you, Peter. Please check out HernandezForCongress.com. Remember his name. Hopefully, we'll be hearing a lot more of it in the future. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Rob and I did, and we're so happy we tried Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. You go to healthycell.com and check out the great products, and you can save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. We'll be back with more after Dark with Robin E.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I can tell you one of the greatest pathophysiologic drivers for tiredness and fatigue during the day is poor quality sleep at night. People always focus on how long they slept, but they never think about the quality. And to improve the quality, there's a terrific product. That's the Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement. And what I tell friends and family and patients is take it every night consistently. It comes in a convenient bioabsorbable gel pack. Take it right before you go to bed. Take the gel pack, brush your teeth, go to bed. Its effects are nearly instantaneous, and patients get a well-rested sleep continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month, and then that daytime tiredness and fatigue melts away when there's a greater restful sleep the night before. So give it a try. Go to healthycell.com, and in the promotional code, type in Out Loud for 20% off your order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back with the last half of After Dark with Robin Andrew. And folks, we thought that we were going to have congressional candidate Peter on for just two segments. But once we went to break, we started talking about other things. And it's like, no, it's worth bringing him back on again, because this is very important that we get new people into the blood of the Republican Party. We need people who are on fire, who are willing to go the distance, and who are also able to bring in additional people, because the dynamics of the political landscape is changing. And as I said during my opening, during the first half, is that the Democrats would have you to believe that the Republican Party consists of nothing but old white men who are racist and they're part of the white supremacy. And we know that that's wrong, but they've been able to define the Republican Party, and you have many Republicans who won't say anything about it. And that's one of the things that attracted me to Trump, because he would push back. Yes, he was bombastic. Yes, a lot of folks didn't like the Twitter, but he would stand up and he would call a lie a lie. So that is a reason why we wanted to bring Peter back on so that we could continue the discussion about his run and about California and the difference that can be made. Peter, thank you for agreeing to come back on and share with our listeners what you were saying when we went to commercial break.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, so obviously I'm a really passionate guy. I just see so much opportunity. The Latino Democrat has always been technically not considered by the Democrat Party, obviously. But the reality is the Republicans haven't done as good of a job of actually engaging that voting populace. So if you think about that, the Latino people, right? Like we mentioned earlier, we love our faith, we love our freedom, we love our individuality. The hard part is how does that translate into practical life? What it means is we actually have to get back to getting to work to win them over, to listen to them, to hear what the issues are. As a Latino, I already understand it. And I feel like to a certain extent, we're so dependent upon the D and the R behind the person, we're not willing to even talk. That's part of the issue of what's breaking down our country is we're not even willing to talk and talk through the issues, right? A lot of the times it's just lack of understanding and ultimately lack of dialoguing into what is excellent, right? What is better. That doesn't happen if you disengage. You're definitely going to learn. You might get beat up a little bit, but worst case scenario is you're actually going to be humbled and grow from it. I don't see any negative side to this thing. The only negative is when you don't engage. And that's what I'm seeing. It's just literally, it's like the field is green for harvest and we're not willing to get out there and do the work.
And that's the thing. You have to be willing to get out there and do the work. You have to be willing to go the extra mile. I mean, and even although it might seem bleak, but you have to keep going. You have to get up every day and keep going. And I think that's one of the things that Republicans they're not good at doing. They look at a race and they say, oh, well, we're going to lose this because it's full of Democrats. But as I said, you don't see Democrats doing that. They will look at a race. I point to Texas. Beto O'Rourke. There is no way Beto is going to win. I don't think. He better not win. But yet and still, they're going to try and win Texas. They want to turn it from purple, from red to blue. Look at what they've done for Pennsylvania. And they keep going and going. Look at Illinois. The same thing there. I look at my state of New York City. Lee Zeldin, who's running to be the governor. Lee Zeldin should win his race. Kathy Hochul is nothing but a corrupt politician. She took over once Andrew Cuomo stepped down, and now she's giving all these contracts to her husband. But the media will not call her out on it. They'll pretend as if though it's not happening. Now, if she wins her election, then they'll start saying, oh, wait a minute, why is she giving all these contracts to her husband? It's like, why didn't you guys call it out before then? But Lee Zeldin, who's running, who was almost assassinated on stage, on camera, almost assassinated by some deranged Democrat. And Kathy Hochul told her supporters, go wherever he is and create havoc. And so he did it. And we see that happening constantly around us. But the media will tell us, don't believe your eyes, it's not happening. You look at all the crime that's being committed. Don't believe your eyes, it's not happening. It's called diversity. We don't want these people to go to jail. Look at what happened to our Supreme Court justice. He was almost assassinated, but no one is talking about it. They're behaving if they'll, oh, it didn't happen. Oh, no big deal. But the Democrats said, Maxine Waters, she said, go up and tell them you're not welcome. Eric Holder said the same thing. He said, kick them when they get down. Michelle Obama said, don't do it, but no, kick them when they get down. Cory Booker said the same thing. Go up and get in their face. These are radical, dangerous people. They live by violence, but we're not supposed to say anything. And Republicans, they roll over. They won't call it. They won't say, no, you told them to do it. It is your fault that we have all this criminality in society. But they won't say anything. Look at Gavin Newsom. Why do you think he thinks that he could run for the presidency? He's destroyed California, destroyed it. But yet and still the media, oh, he looks good. He has a good grade of hair. So maybe he should run. Are you serious? The same thing happened with our old mayor, de Blasio. I think I can run for the president. And then, oh, I think I can run for the senator as a Senate. And the media, oh, well, maybe he can. But when it comes to the Republican candidates, they will look the other way. Oh, no, they're corrupt and they're this and they're racist, because everybody is a racist now. Everybody. Have you been called a racist, Peter?
Actually, I think once or twice, which is the weirdest thing, because I'm as dark as it gets, and I've never had a racist bone in my body.
It's unbelievable how they're able to manufacture these lies. And people will just sit there and go, oh, well, maybe they're telling the truth. When it was the Democrat Party that founded the KKK, the Democrat Party that wanted to keep slavery, the Democrat Party today that's dividing us, the Democrat Party that can't define a woman or a man, the Democrat Party that wants men to play in women's sports, the Democrat Party that just recently voted for the Inflation Reduction Act after telling us for almost 8 months that there is no inflation. There's no inflation. But why do you have the Inflation Reduction Act? The same Democrat Party that's been telling us there's no recession. Two consecutive quarters of no growth, that's recession. You can't redefine it. Oh, but they're going to do it. These are the Democrats. What do you think about the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act, Peter, after they told us that there was no inflation? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's really sad when you have leadership literally insulting the public with a titled bill opposite of its intentions. At the end of the day, they must really have that little faith in the public that they would be willing to lie to them or manipulate them into agreeing that this is anything near a reduction of the inflation bill. So at the end of the day, it's an insult. And, you know, it's funny because touching on one of the things that you had mentioned earlier, Rob, is, you know, when someone tries to call me a racist, you know, when I was back in high school or even in junior high, those are the things that usually would start a fight, right? When you're out in the ball, you know, you're out in the field,
right? Right?
You would square away, you would hash it out, right? And someone would be left standing. My point is I don't think they know what they're dealing with when they call a Latino or someone, a minority who's really hasn't, we've gotten over or overcome issues growing up as kids. And we basically figured out what it means to get ahead in life. When you've used to basically having it rough and you try to pick a fight with someone who's overcome, I don't think they realize what they're doing, because ultimately all that does is it fires me up. When someone would try to pick on me, and just like in the football field, I was that kid that I would try to run right at them, right? So I would basically try to bowl them over. The bottom line is this: you can call us names, you can waste your time by complaining, you know, these leftist folks and calling us names. I'd rather they do that. And it's funny because I had one instance when just recently when I spoke at an event, and they said, Peter, could it be possible that they've overlooked you? And I said, yeah, I actually like the idea that they've underestimated me. So my point is let them waste their time and waste their energy on complaining. I'm getting to work. I'm winning people over. We're taking back this district. And at the end of the day, we're going to end up restoring the state to sanity, because we have the tenacity to do it. We will rub two pennies together and eventually make two pennies up. You know, eventually create a nickel out of it, right? Because we're going to work hard to make this thing happen.
I like that. They underestimate a lot of individuals, and they do it continuously. Like you said, you turn a negative into a positive, and I do it all the time. I don't let the negativity stops me. That's a driving force for me to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to fight this battle, and I am going to win. And we need more conservatives like that that are willing to go out there and fight. So before we get ready to close out this segment, and I know we've been asking you a lot of different questions, what are your thoughts on this new Latinx that they're putting out there? I mean, no, let me just say this. I'm Black, and I don't identify as being an African-American. Just like white people don't identify as being a European American, I'm like, this is my country. My ancestors are probably here before Donald Trump's and Joe Biden's ancestors. Granted, they came through slavery, but they came many, 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 many centuries ago. So I'm a Black American. I know that Blacks came from Africa, but that's so far from me. So refer to me as a Black American. You don't have to dress it up. But now, and this happened like around the 80s, they started telling Black people, oh no, you should call yourself African-American, after they called us Afro-American, after they called us Negro, after they called us colored people. Then, oh, say, call yourself African-American. No, just call me Black American, because my ancestors helped build this country. And we were probably here before a lot of your ancestors, who probably came through Ellis Island on the boat. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the new Latinx?
I think, I've thought about that. It's funny because I kind of laugh, because all I think is that their desperation to try to redefine the Latino population into something that's very liberalized. They're trying to basically create a box. That box doesn't fit. The reality is the Latino community is not that box. We don't want to be redefined. There's a saying amongst the Chicanos, right? Chicanos, basically your first generation born here, but your family is from Mexico, which means their culture is from closely tied to Mexico, right? So you're used to the customs and the ways of Mexico, yet you're living in a new nation, which is obviously different. And there's a saying that says, neither here nor there, ni de aquí ni de allá. So you don't have an identity in Mexico because you weren't born there. You don't have an identity here because basically you're born into a Mexican culture and you're basically trying to figure out your way in this culture. But the bottom line is that was 30, 40 years ago. There's an evolution to that for sure. And at the end of the day, the Latinos have a sense of pride, because one thing that they can't all say is we're proud of not only where we came from, but we're proud of what where we came from taught us. And that's to work hard, to love our family, and to love our faith. Those are things that are tied to the American fiber that are also tied to the Mexican fiber, to where we came from. So Mexico is a very much a Catholic nation. So at the end of the day, you can't tear that away from us, because we'll go kicking and screaming. We're not going to accept it. And I think they're just doing themselves in by trying to re-identify us. We're not a gender, so you're not going to be able to touch us. And I think by default, you're going to end up hurting yourself by trying to label us something that we've never known as part of our culture.
And I agree with you 100%. They're always trying to relabel, thinking that this will give us the upper hand. This is how we will make it. This is how we will bring in more people. Now your district consists of Hispanics, which is it more that are coming from Mexico, Ecuador, or do you know the makeup of the community itself, of the voters, the people that will be voting?
So the breakdown of the district, yeah, there's different nationalities, obviously, but the majority is Mexicano. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of from the business owners to, yeah, the Latino population. I mean, obviously, the only different Latino population that is transient is the farm worker labor through the H-2A program, which is, yeah, the visa program to come into work into this country. But in general, it's mostly Mexican for sure, right? And there's a varying degree of difference, obviously. So, yeah, we all come south of the border, I would say, most of us.
Peter, we're coming up on the end of the hour. We really appreciate your time and joining us. You got about 3 months until the election. What are your plans from now to the election to grind out and try and pull home this victory for the Republican Party?
So there's two things, Andrew, that are a priority. One is for people to get to know me, and two is to be able to pay for people to get to know me. So basically money and voters, right? I'm going to events, fundraisers, different things that it's either for fundraising purposes or it's to get to know new voters. That's it. So the bottom line is we have a team of about 60 people. We just came from the Strawberry Festival. Like I mentioned, there was about 10 of us. They all had my shirts on. So we're trying to blanket the district. So whatever we can't raise, we're going to make up an effort and just getting out in front of the voter. We filling up my calendar. We have phone banking already scheduled throughout and littered throughout the district, making sure that every county is being touched. We have door knocking planned, right? We've built out maps, precinct maps. Obviously, we're looking for help to be able to fill in the amount of people that it's going to take to truly touch the amount of people necessary. We're estimating roughly 150,000 people, total voters, if it's close to the 50% margin. So we need to make sure that obviously that 51% of it is mine. So that's what we're going after, is literally targeting precincts. And I'm going to go right into the heart of Zoe's backyard. Last time I checked, she's not a part of the Latino culture. That's my community. I'm going to make sure that I take it.
Fantastic. And we'll be rooting for you. It's a big district. We're wishing you the best of luck. If you want to help support Peter, please check out HernandezForCongress.com. We thank you for coming on, Peter, and we hope to have you on again, especially after you win your election in November. Thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora. Wherever you stream, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, or go to AmericaOutLoud.com. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.